All right, we're going to get started here. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come here this morning. I thank you that we can lift our time to you, this time of focusing on issues in society and how to address them from Scripture, from your Word. I pray that you would grant to us help, Lord. Help us to be gracious with one another. Help us to welcome one another well, despite possibly coming to different conclusions, Lord. I pray that you would give us help to discern your word as well, Lord, and I pray that as we are confronted with truth, Lord, that we would be transformed and to be able to move on things that we need to maybe shift on, Lord. I pray that you would help me to be clear, and I pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today is the first kind of topical session of our Sunday school series on issues in society. And this is the topic, educational options. I happen to be a public school teacher, and so this is a topic that is one that I have kind of thought through a fair amount over my career as a public school teacher. And I have been very challenged by various things that are happening in society, in our school systems, and trying to think through those biblically, theologically, and particularly in this last few weeks as I've kind of looked through and addressed this topic in particular, I have again been confronted and been able to really look at Scripture again afresh, particular passages that would be relevant to this. And just as a side note, this last week we went to a pastor's conference in Minneapolis, and there was a session on fathers discipling children. And I believe it might be online eventually. Eric had mentioned last week in his sermon that we were going to this conference in hopes that we could be fed, but also so that we could benefit the church through this. And so some of my thinking here was, while my mind was there already, was influenced by that particular session and his thoughts in regard to the role of parents in the discipling of their children and where education fits in with that. So I teach in Blumenort School. And it was last year that that we at the school opened a time capsule. So a time capsule from 1991. And that was the year after I graduated. So we put I remember us talking about this as a school. And the school is being renovated, and in the time capsule we put, like, the graduating class got to put all kinds of different things, like Pepsi bottles and their favorite items, jerseys and such. And in this at an assembly last year, the principal, our current principal, read a letter that the principal from 1991 wrote about the school. And essentially, it was a letter of prayer. And it was very interesting. At the assembly, when the principal read it, it was strange to hear of a principal in 1991 praying and thanking the Lord for Blumenort School. And he just went on and on about how he was so thankful for the community and how he was so thankful for the students, and then he went into prayer that this would continue for the community. And it hit all of us in a certain way because it was kind of just, it felt awkward in a sense. And so I guess what the point is that I think we are always, we live in, and it's always been this case, that we live in a broader society with shifting sand around us. And trying to discern what's happening amongst us, around us, is important for us as believers. And I'm not saying, telling you that story in order for you to kind of say, now we need to get out of the public education system. I'm just saying that over time, things do change. And local communities are also unique within Hanover. I have learned that each individual school within Hanover has a unique flavor to it as well. And so that was just by way of kind of introduction to kind of my experience within Blumenort School. I've spent most of my life there. And it still has some of that same flavor to it. We still have administration at the school that's very supportive of the community and even of the church culture within Blumenort. So that's a little bit about myself. what we want to do in the next this topic will probably take more than this one Sunday school class. But what we want to do is, I want to begin with looking at what Scripture has to say about the upbringing, the raising of our children, and the responsibility that we have. Psalm 127 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." And so what I've noticed in the short, probably 4 years that I've been at Cornerstone, is that progressively there are more and more little ones tearing around our sanctuary, and it's such a blessing to see this happening, that God has blessed us with lots of children around, and so they are. It says a heritage. A heritage could be described in different ways. It would be your allotment, your prize, your inheritance. It's derived from the Lord, and that's important. That it says there, they are a heritage from the Lord. Every gift of a child is a gift that comes from the Lord by His sovereign will. And they are not a reward to us in the sense that they are like trophies of our accomplishments, but they are our prizes. They are our blessings that are freely given to us from God, despite all of our imperfections, and we might not feel that we are worthy to be parents, or we like not equipped. But Psalm 127 says that God entrusts them to us. Proverbs 17:6 says, Grandchildren are the crown of the aged. Do I need to do something else here? Okay. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. So grandchildren here, some of you here are maybe grandchildren, and this verse is talking to you and your responsibility as well as grandparents, and the delight that grandparents can have in their grandchildren, and parents this verse, parents are to be proud of their children. They are to find joy in them. So that is where we kind of start, that the Lord has blessed us with children, and they come from the Lord, and we have a responsibility. Every parent must decide this question here: how should I educate my children? How should I educate my children? And that's a difficult choice, whether to engage them in public schooling, in private schooling, or homeschooling. And maybe there are other options I'm not thinking of, but these would be the three main ones. Within private schooling, there's a couple of different options within there as well. But wrestling with this decision is not merely an academic exercise. So we can look at Scripture, which we will do today, but it's not merely an academic exercise. It's a real life struggle in which we have to discern what sort of schooling is best, what sort of schooling is best for us as parents, and what do we mean by best? How do we arrive at that? And so that is the purpose here. So our purpose in looking at educational options is threefold. To encourage each of us to prayerfully develop biblical convictions and be more fully persuaded in your own mind as to what God is calling you to in terms of educating your children. Whatever you choose, to do it in obedience to your reading of Scriptures, and be prepared when your conscience is bound by the Word of God to take action accordingly. So to take an honest look at Scripture and to wrestle with your convictions, and also to try to be informed about what's happening around us, and then to make a decision and be confident in it. The second purpose is to make application with reference to each of the options. So we're going to look at briefly at the three different options, maybe some of the strengths and weaknesses of them after we've kind of looked at Scripture. And then also, I should backtrack a little. And then to provide kind of if you have your child in public school, what are some of the things that we can encourage one another in that regard if they are in public school, if that's where they are, or if they're in homeschooling, how can we encourage that type of schooling? So. And then the third purpose is to strengthen unity in the body with reference to different educational choices. So what can happen if we don't talk about these kinds of things, what can happen is that rifts still exist between different groups of people. Some oh, that's the group of, and then name an educational choice. And so what we would like to do rather is set it before us and go about having this discussion, but at the end of it, affirm being welcoming of one another, so supporting one another. So here's the outline. So we're going to first look at Scripture. What are the biblical principles that every parent needs to apply? We will look at some of... might have messed up here. We will look at some of the particularly significant texts on the topic of raising and rearing children with the following questions considered. What is the goal? What is the goal for my child's education? What's the goal here? What do we want to accomplish? Who is responsible for my child's education? And how should my Christian beliefs influence my educational decisions? Okay, so that's what we're going to try to get to today. and then likely next week, we'll go into the addressing of the educational options and then applications to draw from the discussion in light of the matters of conscience. So... This, just by way of connecting from what Eric had taught well last week about matters of conscience, this would be, he mentioned the three levels of issues, the first being, the first level being doctrines that cannot be in the realm of disputable matters. These would be... a body of doctrine such as the physical resurrection. So if you don't believe in the physical resurrection, then you would not be a Christian. And so that would be level one. And level two would be those issues that would be ones where we would be restrained from sharing fellowship with others, but we would not say that they're not Christians. And then the third level issues are in no way, they're not unimportant. They are very important, but they are disputable, and Christians can come to different convictions with regard to them. And so as believers, we need to obey our consciences, but they also need to be constantly conformed and aligned to God's will. And so we do need correction and training in this regard. And at the same time, we don't want to kind of force others into our convictions of conscience, which is often the temptation. And we want to be welcoming. So in terms of educational options, I believe that at this point, educational options would fit within that third level of issue. But like I said, it can be very emotionally charged. There's very few things that can rev parents up more than having their educational choices challenged or questioned. It's a hot topic, particularly nowadays. I'm trying to set the bounds here. At the same time. we also need to heed the warnings of compromise as Jesus warns the churches in the opening of Revelation. The temptation was to them was to give in to the spirit of the Roman age during tribulation. And so as Chad also introduced in that first Sunday school session, that we must have the willingness... and joy. We must have willingness and joy in suffering. So, not sure where we are heading as a kind of a society and as more liberal influences kind of arise and have influence on, in terms of education in our country. Not sure where we're heading, but at the same time, we need to be conscious of what's happening around us. And so at this point, we'd say, well, public schooling is an option. It's a legitimate option. It might be that in 5 years from now, I would have a different opinion, or even less. It might be that I would say I would warn against it. That's me now. That's what I'm saying. we would need further discussion as we kind of go along with that. And I've got to be careful in, because I have multiple influences on my life. But at the same time, I am helping shepherd the church. So if there's a warning that I need to give you, then I will give you that. And I will take the consequences as such. But does that make sense, what I'm saying? Okay, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. All right, scriptural texts. This is where I actually wanted you to be involved. So I did have some papers here and some pencils. There are some key texts that we want to look at with this question. With regard to child rearing, what are the key principles that are taught in these texts and throughout the scriptures? And there are four different texts. If I can, I'm obviously a teacher. And so I like to get people involved a little bit. They're all on here, and there's room on the side there. And if we can take, I think I'd only give you about 15 minutes to read through those. You can do that in groups of two. And then we will spend a bit of time discussing those principles. So we've got that question. With regard to child rearing, what are the key principles that are taught in these texts and throughout Scripture? We've got Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Psalm 78, 1 to 8. Proverbs 22, 5 to 6. And Ephesians 6. Are we short? Oh, shoot. If you want to share amongst, well, yeah, like, yeah, not everybody will be able to get one.
Oh, shoot.
So, yeah, I would just encourage you to read through those passages with your fellows around you, and just have this question in mind. Does this make sense? Yeah, okay, good, good. What's that? Do you want a pencil? Okay. Sorry. All right. We're going to... Some of you are looking at me like, not enough time. And others are like, I'm done. you're welcome to take those home and think about that a bit more yet, too. You can come back with some further thoughts next week as well. But let's maybe pause right there. And so I'll just open it up a little bit. What were some of the principles that you noticed from these texts? Obviously, I mean, the scripture does not say, thou shalt not, with regard to this, right? We've got to do a lot of inferring here and pulling things together. But what would be some key principles that you noticed? Anybody want to share? I saw lots of words on there. If you don't want to share, maybe I'll just collect them for later, and then we can do it. David? Yeah, the intentionality in raising the children. So, yeah.
It's not compartmentalized, it's all encompassing every part of life.
Yeah, that's really good. It's not compartmentalized. There's not a, this is that aspect of raising children. It's all encompassing. And anything else that people kind of noticed, Stacy?
Parents are the primary educators.
Right. Parents are the primary educators in a child's life. I might just have to take this off. Or I'll go like this. What, should I just try this? Okay. Yeah, so parents are the primary educators. Anything else that people noticed in those passages? Yeah. So it's the frequency is important, but it's also something that is on kind of happens throughout life and daily life. Yeah, that's very good. Anything else people noticed?
What is it with this thing?
This must be a bad connection. Right. So the deeds of God and who God is, who he is in his character.
Should, if they want to use
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's very good.
Take it and get a new mic cord put on it. Hard to say where, but
I know.
You know, it might be possible to just get a new, because this doesn't come apart. It doesn't look like it. It does.
Yeah. 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 I like what you said there about he's concerned with generations, right? We started with the heritage, and heritage has that element too, right? That there, and I think it probably stems from the outset of in Genesis where it says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and they are to fill the earth with image bearers, but those that would glorify God. That's key. That he cares deeply about his name being made great on the earth, and that we do this. He has ordained that we do this
from parent to child. Parent to child. That's the system.
Could be a grant.
Or that's the means by which God has told us to accomplish that. Is there anything else? The moral character, that's good. I'm going to go down there. Proverbs, you said 22 here? Yeah. Okay, what aspect there would you say?
Okay,
so thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will keep a child in the way he should go. That's very good. So, what's that? Is it not up there? Okay, whoever guards his soul will keep a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. What version is that one? Oh, that's strange. Okay, yeah. I think I got that from the ESV, because one sounds like... both could be applied in that way, though, right?
But I would be
that it matters. It matters who you are in your training, significantly, and so does the Deuteronomy. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." So that's the believer. Like, to love the Lord with all of your heart is what is commanded. And that Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment. And then right after that, he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. What are they supposed to teach? What does the them refer to? It refers to these words, the words of the covenant. And it's all encompassing. And so, yeah. Yeah, and that's, now we're getting at the goal, right? The goal of education. What are we trying to accomplish here? Yeah. This is what I, principle number one. What is the goal? It's passing on a world and life view. That's the one principle that I kind of gathered from all of these texts. So, like a few of you were saying, education is all-encompassing. The Bible does not divide up education, as Doug was saying. It's not compartmentalized, but the Bible doesn't divide up education into subjects, some of which are sacred and some of which are not sacred. What's the opposite of not sacred? Secular. Yeah, so the Bible doesn't do that. It all is under the authority and supremacy of God Almighty. In Ephesians, Paul says, bring them up. This verb for to bring them up refers to all aspects of education. It's an all-encompassing in nature. Bring them up in terms of the material world, what's happening in the material world, as well as their moral training. In Deuteronomy, where it says, making disciples of our children this is not written in Deuteronomy, but this is what Jason DeRoshi in his session this last week said. Making disciples of our children is about helping them treasure Yahweh's supremacy over all things in all their lives. Treasuring Yahweh's supremacy over all things in all their lives. So in the Deuteronomy passage, I had asked, what in verse 6 or in verse 7 is them? You shall teach them diligently to your children. And these are the instructions of the covenant. And the covenant defines what a right relationship with God is. It defines what relationships with fellow humans should be characterized by love and trust. It defines what proper relationships with the environment, as stewards of the environment, what that looks like. So these words in Deuteronomy 6:6 entail all aspects of a life and living. And so the point here, the point here is that God decides. God decides. He is supreme over all of creation. There is one God over all, supreme, the only judge. And because of that, the commandment is to love him. He made us. He owns us as well as everything. And therefore, to instruct our children means to tell them who God is. In Deuteronomy 6:8-9, we have all those all-encompassing elements of what we are supposed to do with our hands, what we're supposed to think between. It says between your eyes, the forehead, what we do at business, at the gates, and all that enters our life, the doorposts, everything that enters into our homes. So every element of it, and so. In the Proverbs 22 passage, Solomon is talking of initiating children according to the dictates of their way. And this includes scientific study of creation, as well as potty training, as well as learning to speak, and a whole host of being able to relate well in social situations. Just as I've kind of wrestled through all of this, a right relationship with God and acceptance of parental teaching for the children, it begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we don't instill the fear of the Lord and the awe and the reverence of God Almighty, you could be engaging in any sort of education and going awry. And so Dr. Peter Gentry says it in this way. How can we illustrate the fact that many Christians fail to see that Christian faith is all-encompassing? If we were inside a building looking out through a clear glass window, I might ask you, well, tell me, what do you see when you look outside? You might begin by describing the grass and the trees and the vehicles on the street. Now, wouldn't you find it odd or strange if I asked, well, did you see the window? One doesn't talk about the window. Instead, one sees the world through it. And yet, in the end, it is the window that is passed on and transferred to the child. They will see the world through the window that we give them. We must make sure that our minds are so filled and saturated with Scripture that our world and life view is completely shaped by the biblical teaching. And so he's saying, as a parent, you have to set forth that worldview explicitly and in informal ways to your children. You got to make it reality for them by making it reality for yourself. Infuse yourself with Scripture, and in that way, your children will also see what reality is in a God-centered world. And that's what we want. We want our children to be God-centered. That is the grand goal. I remember as a child having lots of thoughts about what reality is. And I had, and it was actually, I would sit on my bed and I was fairly philosophical as a child. And I went, I wonder what reality is. And I would look outside in the nature and like, what if everything here is just a figment of my imagination? And I looked myself in the mirror and I said, what if what I am seeing in the reflection isn't actually real? What if it's just nothing, right? And that is what children, I think, maybe I'm just off, what children wrestle with. They wrestle with what is real in the universe. And what we want to begin with is God is real, God is supreme, and we need to instill in them that they are not the center of the universe. I am not the center of the universe. But because of sin, children tend to think, we tend to think that we are the center of the universe. And just a bit of a side note here. Within the education system, there is something called child-centered education. And I tend to think that it's pretty problematic. And these are those are the reasons why. because I don't believe in man-centeredness reality. I think you're off then. And I think I could make a pretty strong biblical case for it. So children are born with an innate sense that they are the center of the universe. As a parent, from a Christian worldview, you have the responsibility to ensure that you yourself understand that God has all rights to every aspect of the universe. He is supreme. This same worldview needs to be instilled in the lives of our children. So we need to begin by consistently checking our own hearts. You could be a parent whose children go to public school and you maybe are not saturated with the Word of God, and you do not live out a life that it would be characterized by a God-centered worldview. And therefore, your child will look through that window pretty easily. Or you could be a parent who has their children in public school, and the Word of God is so vital to your self, how you see reality. Everything that surrounds you is about God's glory. You love the gospel, and you instill in your child, and you do that work of instilling in your child that same reality, and your child will, it's not a this cause and effect, but you are doing that work with your child to instill efforts to instill a God-centered reality. And so you could be a homeschooler, and I could say the same thing. You could be homeschooling your children and care nothing about the Bible or Scripture, not being fed with it. You maybe have different reasons for homeschooling. There are many reasons for homeschooling, and your children will be just as bad off. Or you can be a homeschooler who takes these scriptures very, very seriously and loves the Word of God and loves the gospel and spends your life instilling that in your child. And glory to God. And so that's where we begin. And that is essentially the biggest task of parenthood is to do that. But I believe it starts with your heart, our hearts, and following relentlessly after our God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I'm running out of time. I go really slow. I will, I mean this, I can go to principle two because it's, you guys nailed this one. Who is responsible? It's parental responsibility. Ephesians talks about fathers do this. And Deuteronomy, fathers, equip your children. Repeat this to your children over and over and over. So it is our responsibility. Next time we meet, I will go through a few more principles from these passages, and then we're going to start looking into the educational options themselves and wrestling with some of those things, and then application from there. What kinds of applications can we take from all of it? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are mighty. We can talk about our role as parents and our responsibility, but God, unless you do the work, nothing good happens. Unless you save our children, all of our efforts are not going to end up in a lasting, eternal good. And so we do come before you. We pray for our children. We know that you have, by your sovereign will, you have our children in homes where Scripture is taught and opened and explained. And so, Lord, I pray that that you would use what we do in our homes to glorify you, and that you would save our children, Lord, that you would convict them of sin and draw them to yourself in repentance and belief. I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.